IBM Podcast.
Hello, welcome to another of our podcast series on messaging and connectivity with IBM. My name is Leif Davidson. I'm the product manager for WebSphere Message Broker.
And I'm Andy Piper. I'm the WebSphere Messaging Community Lead from IBM Hursley.
Thank you, Andy. Today's podcast is growing your business by extending your messaging deployments into an ESB.
Well, this must be something you're particularly interested in, Leif, since this is your product that we're going to be talking about.
Well, don't get me started or this podcast could last for some time. Let's get started and say, well, obviously today there are many businesses that are connecting applications and services. It's a sensible, logical thing to do. Many of them may do this today using WebSphere MQ. There are obviously other ways they might be doing it. But if you are just connecting these applications, they're undoubtedly under pressure to do more with these assets. This might be business-driven pressure, or maybe pressure around the technical infrastructure. Maybe it's getting too complex. Maybe it's being hammered by the constant and increasingly rapid demands for change responding to business pressures. How do you move ahead if you've started to connect your assets together?
Well, I guess the flippant answer here is to say, well, you really should be looking at something called WebSphere Message Broker Starter Edition. But more seriously, we probably ought to think about the drivers for choosing an ESB. So an enterprise service bus, the goal of it here is really to enable us to connect up to these different applications and to do some fun and interesting new things with them more quickly.
That's a good idea. I like your idea of a starting point. Let's explore some of the use cases that would really drive a business to say, yes, I want to take my business forward. I want to start to leverage that idea of an ESB. You know, what do we see at these use cases every day? What are some of the main examples?
Okay, we've got a number of kind of key use cases, I would say, and I'll just run through a few of them. So let's, for example, say that we've got some existing applications that are able to potentially talk MQ, or maybe they talk some other protocol like TCP/IP raw sockets or something, and we want them to live within our new cool Web 2.0 REST or web service SOAP world, okay? Well, one of the nice things we can do with Message Broker is enable that. So we can really use the ESB to extend the reach of our existing applications to other protocols. Perhaps we've got a lot of file processing going on. That's a very common way for businesses to get data in and out of their companies. So one of the things that Message Broker is very strong at is picking up files, dealing with the data inside them, converting it, talking out to other applications potentially. We can also start to integrate with our WebSphere MQ File Transfer Edition product to respond to file transfers that are happening elsewhere in our infrastructure and take action based on those. So we're really looking at end-to-end processing of information flows. What about databases? Lots of companies have got lots of different databases. Message Broker can talk to them, connect to them, start to convert data in and out of those. We've also got extremely strong capability with an enterprise service bus of talking to what we would call packaged applications. So that something like SAP, or we have adapters that let us reach into those packaged applications and connect the information inside them out to other applications or services. Another important thing is as we start to build an enterprise service bus, we might want to start to actually identify what we have within our business. So what applications do we have? We need to start cataloguing them, understand the capabilities that we have within the organization, and possibly to start to actually control and govern who uses those services. So we have things like our WebSphere Service Registry and Repository is an extremely strong product that works, plugs into Message Broker to enable you really to start cataloguing the services you have, importing their definitions, and then really starting to use them in a more reusable manner.
I think those are some really really strong examples and certainly examples that we would typically see from our customers, both as a first project and also things that would help them to deliver additional use cases.
I think that's important, right? So I've run through a bunch of use cases. None of those is exclusive. Okay, so once we've got an enterprise service bus in place, we can start to use it for any or all of those things.
And I think an additional benefit that it's worth touching on here is that once you get an enterprise service bus such as Web3 Message Broker in place, it's not just the benefit isn't just addressing the needs of the solutions that you've seen here, is it? It's some of the added benefits that you get as from both business and technical aspect from actually having all that information flowing through an ESB.
Absolutely. In my past life as a consultant where I've really been working with customers, one of the very first things you find is very frequently that they need to start kind of cleaning up their application inventory, understanding how to talk to the applications they actually have, understand what the interfaces look like. And that's often one of the first pieces of work that we need to do as part of that to enable better reuse.
Yeah, I mean, I think customers, once they start to really see the benefits of an ESB, they really do start to appreciate it and use it even more. Obviously, we've mentioned the fact that Broker is an ESB. Why should customers choose Broker? Why is it the right solution, whether they're MQ users or even not?
Okay, if you do have an MQ background, then you're going to find Message Broker a very consistent, comfortable extension to your existing environment. It's really quite straightforward to start. Even if you're not an MQ customer today, that does not mean that Message Broker is not for you. It's taken really leaps and bounds in usability and consumability and ease of use, particularly over the last sort of 8 or 9 years that I've been using it, and really in the last 2 or 3 years, we've focused very much on the user experience. Message Broker is an important piece of software because it is all about connecting anything to anything. It runs on heterogeneous platforms, and it's the operational model, in the same way as MQ's operational model, is the same on all of those platforms. So you only have to learn that operational model once. It can work in, therefore, any of the real environments that customers have, including kind of Linux on different processors from the IBM family. If you know lots of different languages, it's also for you. So, for example, even if you only know one language, you don't need to know them all. We have the ability for people who are comfortable coding in Java or indeed in PHP or in SQL-like languages, or who know XML transformations, any of those users can get up and running with this technology very, very quickly. So I think it's a very powerful enterprise service bus choice.
And I think you're right. I mean, you've covered some of the broad range of Broker, and I know that we're starting to see, you know, use cases. You talked about connecting anything to anything, and connecting devices, you know, the internet, you know, connected internet, the Internet of Things, is certainly an area we see our customers use. And I know we'll be covering that in more detail in a future podcast, so look out for that one. But just to bring this podcast to a close, what are the next steps that a customer who's interested in Broker should be following?
Right, for starters, it's worth noticing that we have a trial version of the product available. I believe it's a 90-day evaluation. So you can take a look at the product. Again, I am going to, as I always do on these podcasts, point people to our DeveloperOS website. There's some fantastic series of articles by some of both from our developers and our partners on DeveloperWorks about Message Broker. Just literally go to DeveloperWorks, type in Message Broker, you're going to get some great articles, which generally focus on one aspect of the product. So, for example, how to make the best use of the file nodes or whichever of the things you're choosing. One of the nice things as well, if you do take a look at the product and get hold of it and possibly start off by purchasing the Starter Edition, if that's suitable for your environment, is we then provide some patterns. And I know we're going to be talking about patterns in more detail in a future episode. So the patterns really help you to get started. They're templates that can help you to start to understand some of the good practices around how to use the product.
Thank you, Andy. This has been a very enjoyable podcast, hopefully for our listeners as well. Hopefully they've learned a lot about Web3 Message Broker. I will certainly encourage them to take a look at downloading the trial code and really starting to explore the benefits of the product. Are there any other areas where people should look for further information, Andy?
Again, I'd suggest the third-party website mqseries.net is a good resource for learning from other users. And also we have a number of accounts on Twitter. We have IBM_broker and IBM_WMQ, which both provide useful information about the MQ family products. And of course, I'd be very keen if you do start using the trial version to hear what you think. And I'm at Andy Piper on Twitter.
Thank you, Andy, and thank you, listeners. I hope to have you again on another podcast.
IBM. Podcast.